Well, you know that over the past number of months, we have been looking at the Beatitudes. Last week, if you were listening, if you weren't listening, you missed it. But last week, I referred to them as commandments instead of Beatitudes. Not right. They're not commandments. They are Beatitudes. And today, we're on the eighth Beatitude. We've been through all seven. We're on the eighth Beatitude, and it says this: blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is the last Beatitude. There are other items following this that say blessed in the same paragraph. We'll be looking at that shortly. But those verses, 11 and 12, are simply to amplify verse number 10. This last Beatitude is a glorious summation of all that Jesus had been teaching his disciples. Now, I've said this so often before, you're going to say he's either losing his mind or he just happens to forget. It's not so. I don't forget. I do it deliberately, that these are not just random statements. These are statements which are progressive. And as we go from one all the way through to the eighth Beatitude, we learn that this is what helps us get to the point of Christian maturity. So these were there for the instruction of the disciples, and they're also there for your instruction and for mine. When we look at this, we also discover when we are living the Beatitudes and we get to the eighth Beatitude, we're going to discover as we look at this what kind of an impact these Beatitudes or this lifestyle of Christian maturity is for us as we face the world today. The Savior concludes this section by informing us that afflictions await us, but whatever the cost, we are to remain faithful. Indeed, if there was no hostility of any kind to our belief and what we put our faith in, we'd really wonder whether or not we had enough faith to begin with. There is hostility. There is anxiety. People do not agree with what we believe in. And so, therefore, in that sense, we are somewhat persecuted. But when we do, then we need to praise God because we know we are being persecuted. Why? For righteousness' sake. Not for our sake, but for righteousness' sake. So let us take a look, first of all, at God's word in chapter 5 of Matthew, beginning to read at verse 1, 2, and including verse number 12. Let us hear the word of God. Now when he, Jesus, saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now let us have a series of slides that review the condition and the end result. Next slide, please. Condition number one, beatitude, an emptiness for God. The condition, blessed are the poor in spirit. The result, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Next slide. Number two, a brokenness for God. Blessed are those who mourn, being sorry for what we have done and therefore coming to the Savior, for they will be comforted. Number three, a selflessness for God. Blessed are the meek, those who are selfless, for they will inherit the earth. Number four, an openness for God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. I pray that that is the desire of your heart and mind, that we will constantly want to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Righteousness in the life that you and I live. Because what does the word say? The result is, for they, you, will be comforted. Number five, a tenderness for God. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Number six, a holiness for God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Now keep in mind, you and I on our own cannot be holy. That's why I'm so delighted that the Spirit of the living God is called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit indwells every believer, does not indwell unbelievers, indwells believers. And with the guidance and the help of God's precious resident, Holy Spirit, living within us, then we can live a life of holiness for God. Number 7, an activeness for God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons, daughters, children of God. And remember when we talked about this previously, it is an active word. Blessed are the peacemakers. We are to be peacemakers in order of severe of influence the Lord gives us. And beatitude number 8, a fearlessness for God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. And what's the result? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Praise be to God. This morning, the Lord willing, we're going to look at 2 of 3 topics as we study beatitude number 8. The 3 topics are the character of faithfulness, the costliness of faithfulness, and the compensation for faithfulness. We'll deal with compensation at another time. In the meantime, let's begin with the character of faithfulness. We read these words, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The character of true faithfulness must always be judged in terms of our loyalty. Our loyalty to what? Or our loyalty to whom? It's our loyalty to Jesus, the person, and our loyalty to Jesus and his principles, the person of Christ. "Blessed are those," we read, "for those who insult you because of me." That we read down in a couple of verses later. People insulting you and me. Why? Because of Jesus. The King James Version says, "For my sake, being chastised, being persecuted, for my sake." That is for Jesus' sake. When Jesus captures and controls a believer's life, nothing else matters. We want to be absolutely 100% loyal to him. That was the life of the disciples. The disciples were loyal to Jesus. Even in the midst of persecution, they were loyal. His principles were vitally important to them, and they lived by the principles. Oh, they were learning. It didn't all happen at once. It happened over a period of time as Jesus was instructing them. Can you imagine being at the feet of Jesus and learning from him and hearing his words and watching his eyes look at you and look at me? What a day of glory that would have been. And the disciples had that experience with Jesus. They were learning from him all of the time. The truth of the matter is, as individuals today, at least I'm speaking personally, it may or may not apply to you, but I do not like suffering. I don't like to suffer for any reason. And yet, when we suffer for Jesus, Jesus tells us that we are blessed because we do. Down through history, there have been thousands and thousands of people who were not only persecuted, but they were deeply hurt and killed for their trust and belief in Jesus. I'm always amazed at the number of people back in the 16th century, 17th century, who died simply to get the Word of God in the everyday language. That was important to them and important to us. And praise be to God that we have God's Word before us even today in our language. We didn't have to study Hebrew or Greek or Latin, but rather it is in our language. And that's a praise God item. But way back to the 1st and 2nd century, there was a man by the name of Polycarp. If you have studied church history, you will have heard of this person. Now, he was a bishop. That was the name in those days for a pastor. He was a bishop in what is modern-day Turkey. I'm always amazed that the 7 churches of Revelation are in modern-day Turkey. And these were letters that Christ sent to the 7 churches through the Apostle John. And I've often wondered if Turkey is going to play a special part in end times. But at any rate, Polycarp was there. And because he was a believer in Jesus, he was brought before the Roman authorities, and he was told to do 1 or 2 things. Recant your faith in Jesus or die. If you recant, you live. If you do not, you will die. Die by burning at the stake. So listen to what Polycarp said. He said, 86 years have I served him, and he hath done me no wrong. How can I speak evil of my King who saved me? He did not recant. And as a result, when he stood at the stake while the flames were ready to engulf him, this is his prayer. O Lord God Almighty, the Father of thy well-beloved and ever-blessed Son, by whom we have received the knowledge of thee, I thank thee that thou hast graciously thought me worthy of this day and of this hour. And he died. He was burned at the stake. None of us would want to be burned at the stake. None of us would really want to die for our faith. Millions of people have been killed because of their faith, because they stood upon the fact that the Word of God is absolute truth. Sadly, there are people today who are being persecuted because of their faith in Jesus. Clearly, any kind of persecution against God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, anything that is anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-the-Jew, anti-Israel, anti-the-Christian, anti-the-Word of God, anything you know is authored by Satan. And we are living in a world today where the Word of God is not being held up as something that we ought to put our trust in and our belief in, nor in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet, I was delighted to hear Prince Charles in what I consider to be a wonderful first speech that he gave, that he said he was relying upon Almighty God for wisdom that he requires. Praise be to God. The scripture tells us that we are to pray for those who are in authority over us. We need to pray for King Charles. We need to pray for our government, because the governments of the world are doing things today that they ought not to be doing. Governments of the world are slipping away from the loyalty that they once had, and we need to uphold our government in prayer. We are now living in an age whereby we are very likely going to face more and more persecution because of our belief, and it may well cause us to sacrifice. It will clearly cause us to determine what our loyalty is. And is our loyalty to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Is our loyalty to the Word of God? You and I, we need to be loyal to Jesus. He is our royal King. He is our Savior. You and I are to be loyal to Him. We are to be loyal to the person of Christ, and we are to be loyal to the principles of Christ. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. When we think about the words righteousness' sake, it sums up all the principles that Jesus was actually teaching his disciples and us in the first seven Beatitudes. Righteousness' sake. When we come to him with these thoughts in mind, the rewards are there. The results are there. Rather than being disloyal to the will of God, the disciples chose to be loyal, even when it meant they were going to suffer and die. You'll remember the story in the book of Acts where Peter and some of the apostles were together, and the people were opposing them, and what did they say? Even the government at the time was opposing them. And they said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now, I'm hopeful that you and I don't have to suffer or die for our faith, but already in Canada, there have been some pastors who have been jailed because of what they believe that what they were doing was correct in terms of worship and calling people together for the worship of God. And they were jailed. I think they're being vindicated now, but nonetheless, they were. It disturbs me that our country in Canada has sunk to such depths. Unless the Lord returns soon, and I pray that he does, that he comes back quickly, then who knows what kind of pressure and persecution you and I may come under. Down through the ages, loyalty to Christ has affected believers in their vocational life, their social life, and in their marital life. This has been going on for centuries, and it happens even today. In our social life, we've got to be cautious with whom we associate socially. Not only that, in our vocational life, we have a vocation we're in, but we need to remember that in that vocation, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are representatives of Him. Therefore, we don't go along with what everybody else is doing just because everybody else is doing it. We do what is right for us to do because we are guided by the Word of God. It's also true in marriage. In marriage, young people, I'm going to advise you, if you are looking for somebody to date, then you look forward to dating someone who is of the same belief that you are. I know that doesn't always turn out to be 100% correct for life either, but it does turn out better in the long run. Remember this, if a non-believer marries a believer, it does not mean that the believer is going to convince the unbeliever to become a believer. Very often it works the other way. Very often the unbeliever pulls the believer back from all that they should believe. We've been looking at the character of faithfulness. There's also the costliness of faithfulness. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Verse 10 provides this beatitude, but you'll notice that verse 11 begins with the word, blessed are you. Now, this is not another beatitude. It is simply an explanation of the eighth beatitude. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. Now, I know it's not easy for you and me to rejoice and be glad when we are persecuted. Yet Jesus says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Yes, they persecuted the prophets. And yes, after this, they persecuted the disciples. They persecuted all the followers of Jesus. And in one way or another, I suspect that we are persecuted or are going to be persecuted. Some translations use the words revile and persecute. To revile means to look down upon another as being vile and being low. It involves being despised and being rejected by others. Such hatred against the Christian essentially results in spiritual opposition, personal accusation, and physical persecution. It's sort of a progressive thing. It begins as a spiritual opposition. They don't agree with what you agree to, what you believe in. Then comes personal accusation, and then followed by physical persecution. Spiritual opposition. Christians, the Church of Jesus Christ today, and God the Father are receiving a great deal of hatred today. I think of people who deliberately go against the Word of God, people who make fun of those who put their trust in the Word of God. I haven't heard a high-ranking clergyman of a certain denomination on one occasion, I heard him on the radio, say that the Bible is just a collection of legends and myths and history. That's all it is. You don't have to look at it as anything else. He is wrong. He was wrong. He's dead now. He knows it. He was wrong. The Bible is the Word of God. That's why we hold the Word of God in such high esteem. That's why we begin mostly when we read the Scripture saying, this is the Word of the Lord. Hear the Word of the Lord. And we conclude by saying, thanks be to God. It is God's word that's getting into our head and into our heart. Praise be to God. There are people who are directly opposing God in every way. I think of the whole abortion issue, for example. There are men and women who stand up and say they want to have and have absolute control over their bodies, even to the point of murdering little babies in the womb. Now, this is of Satan. Why do I know it's of Satan? Because it's absolutely against God, the creator of life. Satan is doing everything he can to pull down our belief in God, our belief in Jesus as Savior, our belief in the family, which is an institution that God has determined. We know there are people today who are standing up for same-sex marriage. This is against the Word of God. It is our society seems to be trying to overrule and push everything in their direction. Remember this, the majority which rules our governments, the majority is not always right. I think of the 12 spies going from the land when they were traveling and leaving Egypt and going into Israel to spy out the land. They came back. Two of them said, let's go and conquer. 10 said, let's not. The people are too big. We can't do anything. And the majority ruled and the majority won, but they were wrong. And this is true today. Even in our government, the majority rules, but often it is wrong in what it is doing. The spirit of hatred is none other than the spirit of Antichrist. And I would say amen as well. Jesus, we know in God's word, was despised and rejected by men. He was despised, and yet we did not esteem him. Now, that's not us. We ought to be esteeming Jesus always. But he was despised by the religious leaders of the day. Oh, dear God, may us who consider ourselves to be religious in one sense because we worship him, may we never say things against God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May we always uphold them in everything that we do. Remember this. The world doesn't think about things the same way that you and I ought to be thinking about them. Jesus said these famous words, "Enter through the narrow gate." Now, the narrow gate, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The narrow gate is coming to God the Father through Jesus. There is no other way. So Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, that's eternal life, and only a few find it." You, I pray that you have entered through the narrow gate. I pray that you have given your life to Jesus. You've accepted his free gift of salvation, and you are going to be in eternity with him forever. I pray that the Queen, that if indeed she accepted Christ and relied upon him as her Savior and Lord, then she is in glory with him today. And my prayer is that all of us will be there someday, either through the process of death or through the process of the rapture. Oh, Lord Jesus, come quickly. There's spiritual opposition. There's personal accusation. Blessed are you when they persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you for my sake, said Jesus. There is personal accusation. As the hatred of the Christian may take the form of slander, and slander is a false statement against someone to damage the other person's reputation. We don't like being slandered. It even hurts more when a fellow Christian says something that's wrong. They try and build themselves up by tearing somebody else down. That's not what we as Christians do. We are to encourage one another. We are to build each other up. Christ tells us that we are to love one another. And this is what we are to do. Now, it's very interesting how people can twist things around. Unbelievers can twist things around. For example, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he said, "This is my body and this is my blood." You know, there were people at the time that thought that the Christian sect was cannibalism because they ate of flesh and drank of blood. Now, we know that's absolutely false. It isn't true, but that's what the rumors were. They began to spread around. And then when Jesus said that we are to love one another, people started to think, and they were falsely accused as being an opportunity for immorality and debauchery. This is what people were saying about it. And we've got to be so cautious of how we say and what we say and how we share it with other people. And oh, woe betide any believer, any Christian who begins to say false things about other Christians. We need to be taken up in the carpet when it happens. There's spiritual opposition, personal accusation, and physical persecution. We don't like to be persecuted, but you know there are people down through the history of the Old and the New Testament that were persecuted because of their belief. Way back in the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, Abel was murdered by his brother Cain. Cain was standing for righteousness. Abel was not, and he murdered his brother, the first murder in Scripture. David was hounded and hunted by King Saul. King Saul was supposed to have been, he was chosen by the Lord, but supposed to have been a godly ruler, and for a while he was. But it didn't continue, and he hunted down David. Daniel was hated by his jealous enemies. Stephen, in the New Testament, was stoned to death because of his belief. James was slain with the sword. Paul was persecuted beyond measure, and most of the apostles, other than John the Revelator, died a martyr's death. This has happened down through the years. I don't know what's going to happen today. In this day and age, the book of Hebrews, the writer of the book of Hebrews said this, "Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Now that happened during New Testament times. I don't know what's going to happen now. I detect that our government is gradually moving away from, at all levels, gradually moving away from the loyalties that we had, most of which originally were based on the Word of God. And our governments are moving away in that direction. And listen to what the prophet Isaiah said. Woe to them who call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. There are things that you and I know were wrong according to the Word of God. And in this day and age, our society is telling us it's okay, it's right, don't be concerned about it. This is serious stuff. I don't know what we as Christians can do. We need to vote people who believe in the Word of God to be their guide. That we need to do, and that in this day and age is very difficult. The Church of Jesus Christ needs to stand up and be counted. We must not allow the world or society to determine our theology. We must determine our theology based on the Word of God. Hear these words. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In one sense, it would be wonderful if we were all persecuted because of our belief in Jesus. I don't want to be. I don't like it. I hope that we are not, but you and I need to be ready. And remember what Scripture tells us. We're to have an answer for our belief. Our answer is all in Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. We know that blessed are those who are persecuted. Why? For righteousness' sake. Persecuted because of our belief in you, Lord Jesus, as our Savior and Lord. And we know that even when we are persecuted, we are going to be honored. Honored because the kingdom of heaven is ours. We praise you and we thank you. Amen.